Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
There are very many different reasons why people become difficult, but some people become difficult permanently from trauma, early childhood trauma in their lives, and they develop personality disorders. Okay. And that creates a huge issue. The other way to become difficult is basically in response to threat. So, and we often experience threat or difficulties with other people when we're in groups because of the dynamics there, or we have personality clashes, often because someone reminds us of another past experience that we had with someone else who was similar to them, or we have a power and control imbalance that sort of triggers difficulties with others.
Okay.
And often we have a shutdown response to other people, and that causes relationships to become intolerable. So we don't give people the benefit of the doubt.
Yes. How do you, as a psychologist and your colleagues, actually study difficult people?
I think the psychology is made up of studying difficult people.
Yeah, these people who come in with a sign, I'm a difficult person.
Look, you know, I think that's how psychology started, really, to study difficult people. But there are two main thoughts with regard to the psychology of why people become difficult. The first one is the attachment theorists. The attachment theorists would note that it's about how we attach and how our ego develops. So if we follow the attachment line of thinking, it sort of goes like this, that the theorists would say that we're wired for attachment. We're wired to attach to somebody, and we attach to someone in order to feel safe and secure.
Yes.
And we reject people when there's a threat or an interference with our attachment. So where and how we attach determines our ego development. And for those people who were securely attached, they're less threatened. And therefore, they don't have to defend their egos because they're so secure. So those who aren't secure in their attachment, they respond more to threats.
Yes.
And the more they see other people attacking them, or they think people are taking things or taking things personally at them. So the attachment theorists would say that we've got a human instinct for survival and attachment and belonging. However, this human instinct comes with seeing other people as a threat.
Yeah, it's part of the package.
And we forget that, you know, other people are actually human and we treat them as though they're different to ourselves.
Mm.
So the other way of thinking is that each of us are born with a sort of certain temperament, and that establishes our personality as time goes on. And this means that we have different personality traits which respond to different ways. So difficult people are only difficult when their personality styles doesn't complement another person. So you may not actually be difficult with other people. That means that our own personality isn't nurtured and we become unsure of ourselves, and we need to exert some sort of sense of control and claim ourselves back when someone threatens our personality.
Yeah.
But my way of thinking is actually a bit of a combination of both,
okay.
Is that, you know, we do have a certain attachment style that we developed because of how we were nurtured as a child, but we also were born with a trait or a sort of a uniqueness that is our personality.
Yes.
And difficult people respond to feeling out of control in both situations, when there's a threat to their ego or their sense of self.
Yeah. You hear the phrase childhood issues spoken a lot when you come across difficult people. Is that a large part of why people end up being difficult?
I think so, and I think all of us have childhood issues.
Yeah, I'm sure that's
all
right
of us
too.
Do, and all of us carry baggage of different sorts. But some people have been so severely traumatized that they do have a shutdown in their development of their personality.
Yeah.
And that's tragic. And
yes,
we'll talk about that in a couple of weeks, and we'll talk about how to deal with those sort of people. But
so for now, how do we react to difficult people? Or how should we react to difficult
people? Let's go with how we do react at this point.
Yes,
because I actually think this is what happens a lot, is that sometimes our own reactions are really really about our own baggage in response to somebody who's difficult.
Yes.
So no matter where we go, we're going to face people who are negative, people who oppose our ideas, or people who annoy us, or people who simply don't like us. I mean, there's a lot of people in the world, and conflict is basically a fact of life. But it isn't the sort of the fact that there's so many people that there is conflict, but it's actually that the conflict triggers our emotions, and our emotional responses goes back to our survival instinct.
Mm.
And we react and attack and defend ourselves.
Yes.
But we can lose track of our own selves in this process. So when we react to different difficult people, oftentimes we're reacting in a way that defends ourselves and we have this human or this animal instinct, which is quite natural to defend and push back. Now, I can't tell you how many times I have got people coming and talking to me about how do I deal with this difficult relative, particularly at Christmas time. You know, a difficult boss. You know, how am I going to cope with this boss? Or the colleagues who continually block the progress every time I want to try and do something. And friends who are so prickly that you just can't say no to them, or you're too scared to say no to them. So I know it's not easy, but if it was easy, there wouldn't be any difficult or negative people to begin with. But
I think I'm sure you have a wealth of experience about this, which is why I hugely look forward to this. I think this is one of our better topics so far, actually. So when we find someone really difficult, what do you say is actually happening to us personally, for a start?
Well, I think initially, I think we find ourselves holding a grudge. We grab a memory of that person and we start putting them into categories of how we should treat them in the future. But that actually isn't very helpful. One of my favourite sayings is holding a grudge against someone is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die.
Oh, that's gold. That's pretty smart.
So the only person we hurt is ourselves.
Yes.
So when we react negatively, we're disturbing our own inner space and mentally creating pain within ourselves. Yeah. So we've got to be very careful about holding a grudge. The other thing too is that when someone is difficult in front of us and we're having to deal with them, it's not about us. It's not about you. It's about them. Now, Freud coined the phrase projection. It was one of his really good things. He had a lot of good things and a lot of strange things too, but he had a lot of good things. And one of them was projection. What he says there is that when people initiate negativity, what they're doing is trying to make you align with how they're feeling. So this is like someone who projects how they're feeling, and somehow you've got the feeling as well.
So I should be saying to them, listen, pal, this is your problem, not mine.
Well, you could say that. You probably get something back in your face.
Just in my head.
Yes, that's yes. That's exactly right. But sometimes, you know, you might be with someone and they say, why are you so angry? And actually, you know what? They're the ones that are angry.
Yes.
And
yes.
That's projection. So, and it's interesting. Now we've got the social media network sites. We've got all these blogs where people can leave anonymous messages. And the number of times they go back to their blog to see what other people might say, the negative comments.
It's a huge
it's
issue.
It's quite an interesting thing. Now, our ego actually likes problems. Our ego likes conflict.
Really?
Yes. Okay. It's how it grows. So we tend to have a battle with our ego. So when someone is sort of coming at us with something negative, the dynamics that happens there is it sort of triggers a battle of our ego. It's called the psychodynamics. Wow. So it's always really helpful to actually stop and just listen to how you're feeling in response to somebody, because that's something that's evoked from someone else. So they evoke a response in you and you have a bit of a fight back in your ego. So when a difficult person comes in and you have this evoked, you've got to actually start thinking, okay, is this me, or is this actually a response to what they want me to do?
Yes.
So another one is also when we look at, I always like the term, every action has an equal and opposite reaction. You know, it's a science principle. So when we look at it in terms of anger, someone comes to you with anger or a prickliness, you also meet it with the same prickliness.
Yeah.
So we've got to be very careful when someone is difficult in front of us that we don't actually equal the difficult response and have a reaction that's just equally as difficult. Then we double the problem.
So we turn the other cheek?
Well, I think this is what the Bible talks about.
Yeah.
And it actually doesn't necessarily mean, you know, you get punched out.
No.
But it actually means you stop and you let them own that part of it. Now, the other thing too is that there's an enormous amount of energy in response to difficult people. They evoke energy, they pull the energy from you, and you feel often very drained. So it's also very important to use a bit of mindfulness, which we've talked about in the past. You know, this is something that's happening to them. It's not good, not bad. It's just happening to them. I don't need to respond to it. So that sense of not letting the energy sap you.
Which is, I must say, is good in theory, but gee, in the heat of the moment, that's a really hard thing to do.
Yes. And I think we tend to like, in our human nature, we tend to ruminate over things. So when something happens and somebody says something and they're prickly and you feel bad about it and all those buttons have been pushed for you, you ruminate. And so the negativity becomes quite contagious.
Yeah.
And I often talk to people about saying, you know, I say, look, you know, shut it down. Don't talk about this so much. Or if you're going to talk about it, find a space in your house that's the only space that you talk about it. Or go and stand in somewhere in your backyard, in the corner of the backyard, and just talk about it there. But then don't talk about it in any other place, so it doesn't contaminate your environment.
What do you say about closing down or withdrawing or not engaging?
Well, I think that's also another way of actually managing people who are difficult. And not engaging is often helpful, but if they're really difficult, they'll sense that and they'll see that as rejection. So we'll talk about that, I think, next week and how we can do that. But one of the things I think is really important is that sometimes people really need to have an ability to express their own opinion. And you know, it's nothing worse than hearing someone's opinion who is just completely off the air, and you just feel like saying, oh, my goodness, you know, and it pushes all your buttons.
My tongue's bleeding because I'm biting it. So.
Yes.
Yeah.
But, you know, to remember that they have got freedom of speech. They can say things.
Because a lot of energy can be expended in all this.
Yes. And if they're trying to push your buttons to get you to react and get your ego to have a good conflict moment and have a fight with them, and the energy's all expended and you're walking away feeling so drained and manipulated and overwhelmed, you know, then that's a lot of wasted energy on someone's difficulty.
Because the negativity can be contagious, can't it?
That's right. Yeah. That's right. In fact, positivity can be contagious. And there's a big debate going on, is it which is more contagious, negativity or positivity?
Yeah. That's the whole positive psychology thing.
That's right.
So
that's right.
Give us a sketch just briefly. I know we're not off topic, but what's that mean? What's the positive psychology thing?
Well, there is actually a positive-negative ratio.
Yeah.
If you're within a certain point of these positive-negative ratio, I think it's something like 2.8 versus 11 something. And if you've got more positive versus negative, you can cope quite well. But if you actually have more negative than positive, you end up collapsing in or running around in circles.
Yeah.
And there is a debate and I think a mathematical formula going on to discover whether somebody coming in with a positive attitude can affect more change with a negative group of people than a negative person coming in to a positive group of people.
Yeah. This is going to be really interesting as we go through this. So next week we're going to be looking at extreme personality disorders that people develop and also how to deal with them. Give us a quick sketch.
Yes. If we look at the spectrum of negative or extreme personalities, we can look at the narcissistic or the sociopath. And these are very difficult people. But let's look at the narcissistic personality, which is something that I think someone who most of us have dealings with at some point, and also to actually get in touch with our own narcissism as well.
Yes, there's a bit of that in all of us. Okay, Lynn Worsley, thank you so much, as always, for joining us on Open House.
Thank you.
Just before you go, I just must announce, and you can share this good news, we've hit the 1K members of our Open House community Facebook page. We're up to 1,004. So well done, everyone. It's a landmark night in the life of Open House. Thank you so much, all 1,004, for joining us across Australia. This is Open House.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology Solutions. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.